Our scripture today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
As you know, sometimes I can't even make it through a hymn, so just in case, I have not just one, but 2 hankies. I love this story. I love this story because it works on so many different levels. You got the lawyer, an expert in the Jewish law. Apparently he believes in the resurrection of the dead, so he asks Jesus about inheriting eternal life, and he says, "Well, what must I do? You tell me, what do you read in the law?" asks Jesus in response. "Okay, love God, love your neighbor as yourself." "Perfect, go do it." And then Jesus, the lawyer though, he couldn't let it go. And this is what amuses me about this story. He gets defensive. And I'm wondering, now why is this guy defensive? He's just talking with Jesus. But then maybe he knows something about Jesus. Maybe he's seen Jesus and his close associates. Who does Jesus have for friends? Fishermen, tax collectors. There's women following him, we know that. Maybe he even heard that Jesus ate at the home of tax collector. He touched folk abundance with sores. You're not supposed to do that and stay clean. He asked a Samaritan woman for a cup of water at a well. You're not supposed to talk to women, especially Samaritan women. You weren't supposed to talk to women at all, actually, back then. And he wants to know, who is my neighbor? Because if I know who my neighbor is, what by definition do I also know? I know who my neighbor isn't. Because that way I can say, okay, am I good here? Am I loving my neighbor? Tell me who my neighbor is. These are the people I can love, and these are the people I don't have to love. It's very convenient to be able to separate things out, say, okay, love, no love, fine, I'm happy here. And I'm looking at the Middle East, thinking, okay, who is my neighbor? We'll go there later sometime. That's a big story. But who does God want me to love? And who can I dismiss as not neighbor. Well, the story we know is a familiar story, and it's one of the reasons I love it. Familiar stories are always good ones. The Judeans pass on the other side of the road, but this Samaritan, and they talked a bit about that last week. Tony tied in with it with the Samaritan woman at the well. The Samaritans, they were also believers in the Abrahamic God, but they were from the northern kingdom, and the northern kingdom wasn't treated very well by the Judeans under Solomon, brought them down as slaves, and he wasn't very kind. I mean, the wisdom of Solomon was not with how he treated his laborers. He was an outsider. They were heavily intermarried with the local non-Abrahamic population, so they were kind of like the black sheep of the family. Someone who doesn't believe in Jerusalem as the place where God resides. The Samaritans had God residing someplace else, at Gerizim. So you could say that, you know, they were heretics in another way at that time. Remembering also that Jesus' followers were mostly Judeans, and what ends up happening a few stories before, they're walking through a Samaritan town. They're not welcome. And the disciples say, hey, can we destroy the town? Jesus says, no, we're just moving on. But they wanted to destroy a Samaritan village because it did not show them hospitality. And now we have Jesus in this story talking about a Samaritan who has compassion. He sees a beaten, nearly dead man. His heart goes out. And the word that Luke uses for compassion here is only used three times in the Gospel of Luke. It's used in this story. It's when the prodigal's father sees his son, and when the widow, see, I told you I had these for a reason, the widow whose son has just died, Jesus' heart goes out. He has compassion, and he raises the child from the dead. Same word, only used three times in Greek. Jesus' compassion, the prodigal father's compassion, and the Samaritan's compassion. And it's not just a little compassion. I mean, heck, he raised the kid from the dead. That's a pretty big move. For the Samaritan, he gives the guy a ride on his animal. So that means he had to walk, and we don't know how far. He gives the innkeeper extra money and says, whatever it costs, I'll bring it back. Oh, an overabundance of compassion, and it's overflowing. The prodigal father throws a party, much to the elder brother's disgust, but we won't go there today either. It's the compassion that just overflows, and the mercy and the joy. It's undeserved. It's unearned. And when Jesus does this with this story, it changes it from a mind game of who's in and who's out, who do I need to love, who can I ignore, to a compassionate union of the heart and the mind and the body in this man of Samaria who goes out of his way to help somebody. The unity of mind and heart and body. There were so many tie-ins to today's worship service, it was just kind of crazy. I thought about that during our chant. You know, my heart is open to you, God. What are we doing when we ask that question? And how can it change us? So then Jesus asks, so which of these three, and if you read the original Greek and it's translated word for word, it's kind of fun because it sounds like Yoda. It does. It's. I could just think of Yoda's voice. Which of these three a neighbor seems to you to have been? Okay, that's the way the Greek is lined up, and I loved it, so I had to put that in. Which of these three a neighbor seems to you to have been? And the response of the expert in the law was the one having shown mercy. Now, that's another interesting word that gets used only four times in the Gospel of Luke. Once here, this is the Samaritans showing mercy, and three times at the very beginning in chapter 1 in Luke. And those three times are talking about God's mercy. God's mercy, and I'll read it. It's from Mary's song, the Magnificat in some traditions you might understand it as. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and the rich away empty. God has helped God's servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy. Those are the two times. And then when Elizabeth celebrates the birth of her son John, Elizabeth's neighbors and relatives heard the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. So compassion used three times, mercy used in this place and only elsewhere in Luke's gospel, talking about God's mercy, which got me to thinking that maybe this Samaritan was more than just an example of an outsider helping people. Because it's got to be God's compassion and mercy and love. It can't kind of like be mine or my mercy and compassion, because, you know, I kind of like the lawyer's thinking in a way. It's convenient to know who you need to love and who you don't. I have some neighbors who can be testy. For those of you who live at Kendall, you know. But, you know, God's child all the way around. It's got to be God's compassion and God's mercy and God's love. And it's got to work despite what I'm thinking and feeling in my own heart sometimes. It's God's Holy Spirit working through us, in us, binding our wounds. Sometimes we're the Samaritan. Sometimes we're the lawyer. Sometimes we're the one on the side of the road who's wounded. God binding our wounds, carrying us. I love the image that Meg used there of Jesus carrying the sheep, carrying us, providing for us, just as the Samaritan did. Interesting, again, the mercy and compassion that Luke has here are referenced to God and to Jesus. So God's angels need no wings. We can be, despite what we look like and how we behave sometimes, we can be God's angels. We can be the ones who channel our hearts being open to God and our lives in some kind of unity of mind and body and spirit. As I guess if you looked at the characters in the Good Samaritan story, which one of all those characters? You got the priest, you got the Levite, you got the lawyer, and then you got this guy, this outsider, who has that channel for God's compassion and God's mercy and God's love that can only come through the power of God working in us, because we can't do it ourselves. You know, it's the word druthers, if I had my druthers, the word druthers is a contraction. It's the I'd rathers. The I'd rathers. There are a lot of I'd rathers with regard to neighbors. But I think if I had my druthers, I would choose some and not choose others. But that's not the choice that the text is giving us. The text is simply saying, you know, who is your neighbor? You know, which one behaved like a neighbor? So when we want to think about who's in, who's out, the reason I love this story is because it flips it on its head. And instead of saying who's in and who's out, Jesus simply asks, which one behaved like a neighbor? How do we act? How do we behave? And not how we define. Am I the wounded one? Sometimes. Am I the lawyer? Probably more often than not. But I kind of like to be the Samaritan. But I know, I'm going to need a lot of God's help with that. I love this story. Amen.